Okay, the recording's all started. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group call on the 25th of October. Welcome to everyone. From the working group on the call, we have Rafik Domic, Owen Smigelski, Jim Galvin, Steve Metallitz, John Kong Yao, and Robert Hutchinson. From staff, we have Steve Sheng, Dave Piscatello, and Julie Hedlund. Thank you, and welcome to everyone. Very glad that you could join us. I did send around a brief agenda. We've accomplished number one, the roll call. And the second item on the agenda is that we did have an ESSAC retreat last week. And at the retreat, Jim Galvin gave an update on the ongoing discussions in this working group. And we had some discussion in the ESSAC concerning, you know, how the ESSAC thought we might proceed in some areas. And Jim, I was wondering, not to put you on the spot, but did you want to share any of your thoughts on, you know, what you thought about what the ESSAC said? And Steve Sheng collected, I think, a few action items or comments from the ESSAC as well. Oh, and I see that Jeremy Hitchcock has joined as well. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hello.
Oh, I don't know if you, when you joined, Jeremy, but we're just giving a little bit of a follow-up from the ESSAC retreat last week where Jim gave a brief update on the status of the working groups. And Jim, any thoughts that you'd like to share on comments that we received from the ESSAC? And Jim, if you're on mute, we're not hearing you. Okay, well, Steve, maybe I can ask you to run down some of the comments that you had collected from the ESSAC.
I apologize. I fumble fingers on hitting the mute button there. I hung up instead of unmuting.
I've done that myself, Jim.
It happens from time to time. We do our best.
Yeah, I've done that too. I didn't know if you wanted to share your impressions of the discussion at the ESSAC retreat, and I know that Steve Sheng, I think, tried to capture a few items as well.
Okay. Well, obviously, I didn't hear what Steve said, but so maybe I'll just mention a couple of things.
I thought I'd defer to you first, but if you'd like, he can mention the things he's captured as well. But I didn't know if you wanted to, mention anything in particular.
I do. What I got from the discussion in terms of specific actions. I believe that there's consensus in the ESSAC that, we should affirm, it would be good for this group to affirm that the WHOIS protocol is insufficient for needs. I think that that's a point in which we agree even today. In fact, let me back up for one moment and make one other thing. In the discussions, one of the things that we were reminded of is what we need to be careful of here is being careful to distinguish between who is the data model and who is the protocol. And it's important to make that distinction. I'm sure that we can all appreciate that that distinction is blurred a lot, and it leads to confusion, and we should be very precise in whatever comments we ultimately make and any specific suggestions we have about corrections or suggestions, editorial suggestions for even documents that exist today that go along with this. But then that brings me back to the one specific recommendation. I think there's value in asserting very quickly, and this was what I interpreted to be consensus within the committee, within the ESSAC, there's value in asserting very quickly that WHOIS is not is not a sufficient answer, and that a recommendation will be forthcoming from us about more details later. And I guess we should talk about, we can talk in this committee about how much more we want to say than that and when we might be able to say it. The reason for saying now that WHO is as a protocol is insufficient is because the next version of the draft applicant guidebook is coming out, and of course as part of that, a new registry agreement is going to be proposed, and as part of that, WHO is the service that's recommended. WHO is the protocol. And so we should get to a place quickly that we can state that that's not the right answer so that perhaps they can begin now to call out in their agreement and in the applicant guidebook that there should be an expectation that WHO is requirement is going to change. So that's the one specific action to put on the table that should happen very quickly, is to assert that WHO is as a protocol is insufficient. Other things that I got from it were the distinction between protocol and service, and also a suggestion to switch to using the phrase directory service instead of WHO is at all. And so when we make our recommendations and our suggestions about where to go, we should speak in terms of a directory service and the functionality that it needs, thus to set the stage for drawing attention away from WHO is so that we really can begin to look at other options that solve this problem. That's my takeaway from the treat last week. I don't know if Steve wants to add anything or clarify anything. That would be fine with me.
Thank you very much, Jim. Steve, do you have anything you want to add?
I have 2 points noted. I think Jim discussed the 4 models in the working group. And one of the questions is, why translation? How is the translation different from transliteration, just in terms of the address, and which specific field is used for translation, like which field is intended for translation. So the ethic, raised that question. Another question ethic raised is the IRT working group discussed about standardizing the data, the WHO is data. It raised a question, should we also discuss about standardizing the labels of those outputs? So, for example, the labels mean, the contact, the address, phone number, Right now, different registrars and registries, those labels are different. To have... In anticipation for internationalization, there's maybe more demand for localization. That means that the results of those can be localized. And that's one of the questions ASAC raised. So I think that's it on my part. Thanks.
Yeah, let me thank you, Steve, for that. And add one thing to the comment that you made. You were asking about the distinction between transliteration and translation and what should be translated. To put that in context, one of the specific things that was raised was, for example, addresses or names are the kind of thing that it may not make sense to translate or transliterate. And that was the specific context for that comment about choosing what things are translated and what are not, and, suggesting that this group consider that issue in particular. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Jim and Steve. From the working group members, are there any questions concerning these issues that were raised by the ESAC or discussion on them?
Yeah, this is Steve Metallitz. I had a couple of questions.
Please go ahead, Steve. Thank you.
In terms of timing on this and Jim's remarks about the applicant guidebook, I'm not really sure whether it's too late to affect what's in the applicant guidebook anyway. I guess we'll know more after Thursday when the board considers the timetable. But But what you were commenting on, Jim, was with regard to the WHOIS protocol, and not the directory service or the WHOIS data model, I think is what you said. Are you suggesting that we make a recommendation as to what would be in the new registry agreement as far as which protocol would be used or as far as what kind of service would have to be provided?
I think the minimum thing that we can do is simply to state, if we can achieve consensus within this group, that the WHOIS protocol is insufficient for the needs of presenting internationalized registration data. And we would ask that the staff take that point and incorporate the idea that the WHOIS protocol will be changed at some point in the future. They should keep that in mind as they draft other policies and procedures while this working group continues its work, and maybe it will have a specific recommendation in the future. And that really only speaks to the timing issue. I think the minimum we can say is WHOIS is not sufficient, and please take that into account in everything that you do without telling them exactly how to deal with that. And we need to make that particular comment public. My assumption in saying that is it's not clear to me that we can come to consensus about what we would recommend to replace it in a timely enough fashion to affect anything. The other thing I'll comment on is as far as timing of the DAG 5 is concerned, it's my understanding and my expectation at this point that DAG 5 is going to come out relatively soon, within the next couple of weeks, and the timing of this will be such that a public comment period is going to open, and the public comment period one should expect to close at the end of the Cartagena meeting or shortly thereafter, depending on when it's released. So now is the time for us to be able to make a specific comment because we can submit it as part of the public comments, you know, officially from the working group.
Thank you. That's helpful, and I think I would be in agreement that with that comment that it should be borne in mind that the WHOIS protocol is not forever, and that should be borne in mind in drafting these documents for the new GTLDs. I will just say on the transliteration, first of all, the localization point of the labels makes a lot of sense to me, and I guess I'm not sure we have discussed that, so maybe we should. But on the transliteration versus translation, I think there is a little bit of confusion about this in the draft report that was draft interim report that was circulated. So when we get to that, perhaps we can discuss that point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Other comments?
Julie, this is Bob Hutchison. Could we get a little more definition on the comments that were made about the inadequacies of the protocol, the WHOIS protocol? We've heard from a number of members on this team that the WHOIS protocol could be completely gotten away from, could be tweaked in a small way, or could be tweaked in a major way. I don't understand. Is the ESAC, were they basically saying, let's, you know, place a stake in the ground here that we're going to, in essence, not do a small tweak to the protocol as it currently sits, or can you give us a better feeling about where that conversation went?
I think that there is a lot of evidence, not just from ESAC, but I think it's been, you know, visible in the community for a long time that the WHOIS protocol is simply not going to meet the needs of internationalization. It was in its day U.S. ASCII only. It is today. It is, in theory, intended to be 8-bit clean. In technical terms, that's what you call it. But, for example, there's no defined encoding mechanism, and there's no way to signal an encoding mechanism. There is no way to signal character sets or scripts that are used. And, you know, there actually is... There have been a number of things that have... It's not extensible in any standardized way. So you can make a query, which you can only give it a domain name, but you can only give it a domain name in a U.S. ASCII form. And in fact, even today, for Whois services that different registrars or registries offer, if they allow you to enter the PUNI code representation, the XN-dash-dash, it's just because on the server side, they're looking for that magic four-character sequence in the front, and if they get it, then they know to decode that and look it up, and then they'll use that in the reply, and that's what they'll give back to you in the response. So, I mean, from a technical point of view, it's quite straightforward to state that Whois is insufficient. Now, on the issue of where to go with it, that's part of the problem we've been having for years, is people, you know, a lack of consensus on where to go with Whois. I mean, the obvious candidate is IRIS. I mean, the IETF created that protocol. It's been around for years. It's ready to go. There are implementations of it that are ready to go. You know, I believe there's even a, well, I guess I'm not certain now, but I know, for example, that VeriSign, and I know that a number of others did implementations of IRIS. But, you know, whether we want to recommend that and go in that direction or not, I don't know. We should probably explore ourselves in this group the advantages of IRIS and then consider other alternatives. That's my response. Does that answer your question?
Bob, was that helpful?
Yes, I guess. I'm not clear as to whether that's your opinion or whether that's the opinion of the SAC or is it an amalgam of everything.
I would say that it's an opinion of ESSAC, and I think that even in our own document, well, I guess we're stuck on the four models. We've been talking about data models. See, this is where this distinction between Whois protocol and Whois data model is kind of important, and we probably need to have that discussion in this group. I think personally that a large part of our discussion has been focused on the data model, not on the protocol, except perhaps for part of the response to the first issue. And so maybe we should go back and visit that in this group and make sure that there's clarity on that point. But I do believe that there's clarity in the SAC that the Whois protocol is insufficient. And so I'm comfortable representing that position here and asserting that in our discussions in this working group, too, to see what consensus we can get in this group on that point.
This is Dave Piscatello. There are two ESSAC documents that are actually from 2008. One is SAC 27, and it was comments to the GNSO regarding Whois studies. And SAC 33, which was domain name registration records and directory services. And both of those talk about the need for features that that are absent from, you know, from the existing Whois protocol and services that are necessary to provide greater accuracy, greater integrity, and greater accountability. Steve, I'll post the links to those. And those are sort of some of the background, you know, background material that I think Jim is basing his opinion on. I think that since 2008, there have been a number of discussions about other alternatives to IRIS because the uptake for IRIS has been rather negligible. Sorry about that. And it is perceived to be a rather heavy client footprint. It's a fairly heavy forklift implementation. But there are some other people who have been experimenting with what's called RESTful or RWS, representative state. What is the acronym? It's a word. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, I confess it's restful, but I actually could not expand it here in real time. Sorry.
I think it's state transfer.
Yes, it is. Representative state transfer. In any event, there's been some experimentation by Aaron. Ayanna has actually done some tinkering, and some ICANN staff have also done some tinkering with it, and I believe Wright has an implementation. RESTful uses XML over HTTP, and so that's another possibility. But I think that if I could offer an opinion, one of the things that we originally tried to do at the outset was focus on the data that as opposed to the protocol. But I think it's perfectly appropriate for us to say that while we are focusing on the data, we don't think that the protocol is going to be able to carry the mustard.
This is Jeremy. So I think there's two points, and one is probably more there's probably a greater chance of consensus on than the other. And I'm looking at the charter also to make sure that we're kind of in line on this. I mean, I would agree that, or it would seem like the discussion that we've had has centered around the data models, what we're specifically looking for, what's lacking from the WHOIS protocol in the sense of the requirements of registrant data in the international context. And I think that that might be something that we want to do even on this call, is to find out whether or not that's a statement that this working group is comfortable making. And I think it's been something that we've been fighting around since probably the end of July. And so I think that there's a pretty good chance that there's pretty universal consensus on it. Not sure, but that's just kind of the feeling, is that there are things that are lacking in the current framework. The second is I think the deliverable that we're looking for, we're looking to present, is the types, kinds, and codings of registration data to collect. And I'm not sure that we want to identify a system that is a successor. We could say pros and cons of a particular one, but I think that's really outside the scope, is that we're looking at what are the requirements, and certainly you can kind of look at IRIS and say, oh, well, these are the things we want to make sure are in that system, so this is what we say, and these are the requirements. I would think that might be a little bit out of scope, or at least pretty forward of us, but that's kind of just my opinion on it.
Thanks, Jeremy. Other comments from the working group members on the call concerning sort of the two questions here, and perhaps we can even get a sense today from all of you on the first question, and that is, can we go ahead and write up a very brief statement that the current WHOIS protocol is insufficient for internationalized registration data, and perhaps listing a few reasons why we think that, some of which Jim has enumerated. So first of all, let me ask all of you on the call, does anybody, this is probably a simpler question, does anyone from the working on the call disagree that we should make such a statement as part of the public comment process in the public forum on DAG 5?
This is Steve Metallis. I don't object to it, but I would want to see the language that's being proposed.
Of course. Others? Then perhaps what we can do, and Steve, Dave, please chime in, is perhaps staff could draft a brief statement for the working group to consider. This would be separate from the interim report, but something that we could consider submitting in the public comment period that will be forthcoming. and we could send that around to the working group to get your comments on that. Steve and Dave, do you think that that is something that we would be able to do? Do we have enough information to do a draft, or do we need some more information?
I'm sure we can come up with a, I mean, we're not looking for a full report.
No, it's not a full report. I think it's a comment, you know, just a very brief comment with maybe a little bit of preamble, but I think referencing the, you know, the ESSAC, previous ESSAC reports, 33 and 27, could be useful, referencing the, you know, some brief reasons why the protocol is insufficient for nationalized registration data, and then saying, you know, that we, you know, that this working group agrees that it's insufficient, and just something very brief for the group to consider.
No problem.
Okay, so we'll take that on as an action item from this discussion, and then I think in this group we need to decide, I think as Jeremy has pointed out, just how much is in scope with respect to what this working group can say on, you know, recommendations for alternate protocols, IRIS or RESTful or whatever, or perhaps just maybe commenting on pros and cons of some of these protocols. But I'd like to get a better sense, I think, from the working group members on the call, whether or not that's an area to pursue. It hasn't really been something we've been looking at, and we also do have, I'll remind you, the issue of trying to get an interim report out in time to be considered for Cartagena. So I don't know whether or not, since we've not discussed it at all, then I don't know that we have anything that we could include in that interim report, but perhaps that might be an area that we could consider to include for additional work. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is Steve Metalitz. The interim report now has a paragraph on page 5 that discusses some of the shortcomings of the WHOIS protocol. Doesn't use that word, but, and then it concludes that the group's objective is how to support the submission, display, and transport of the data in the existing WHOIS protocol, or whether there is a need to migrate to new protocols. And I assume from what Jim was saying that his view is there's a need to migrate to new protocols, and maybe this is a place where that could be stated.
I agree. Another place could be the way in the report is we call out two questions. First question is how to internationalize the WHOIS data. That means, you know, what data element to internationalize and what are the models to internationalize them. And the second question is how to support that internationalization, meaning the submission, display, and transport of the data with WHOIS. So those are the two questions we separated in the interim report. If the working group wants, the rest of the discussion, unfortunately, right now in the report, it only calls out those two questions, but pretty much the rest of the report focuses on the first question. If the working group wants, we can write something on the second question. Well, actually, are we going to write something for the DAC 5 public comments? Can we include that simply in the report?
I'll let others comment too, but I would think that that since it looks like we'd have to prepare the comment pretty quickly, we certainly could include. I think that the comment and the interim report should be consistent. I think I heard someone else commenting. Was that Steve Metalis that I heard?
No, it was not me.
Thanks. So we do have we have called out the question in the report, but we haven't gone into great detail in the report on it. We've stuck more to the discussion of the data model. But you know, anything that we produce as far as a question, I think needs to be also treated consistently in the report. What do others think?
This is Steve Metalis. If I could, I certainly agree that we should be consistent, but let me just note, I think we have a deadline of November 15th to complete our interim report if we want it to be discussed in Cartagena.
Yes, that's correct.
And that will certainly, the comment deadline for the next version of the applicant guidebook is unknown at this point, but it will certainly be later than November 15th. So I guess I would suggest that we focus on the interim report, and then assuming we're successful in getting that draft posted by November 15th, it might be possible to adapt something that's in there into a comment, a public comment.
Yeah,
on behalf of the group.
For that. That's actually a really good point, and I'm sorry I was being obtuse on that. I mean, given that we do have an interim report draft from the staff to consider, and then, you know, we can include in there what we want to say on the protocol, and then that could also be, you know, could drive the public comment. But you're right. The 15th is the deadline. That's our driving date right now, and we don't know yet the date for the comment on DAG 5. Thank you for that. So I'd like to suggest then that we switch the discussion now to the draft interim report that Steve Sheng sent around. I think that we now have some new edits that we need to make to that, and in particular relating to the inadequacies of the WHOIS protocol, and then also making it very, very clear that we have a distinction between protocol, anything referring to that relates to the protocol versus data or the directory service, and perhaps making sure that our recommendations with respect to directory services do as such as opposed to who is. But I was wondering if the working group would like to make any general comments about the interim report before we dive down into it.
Julie, I have a quick process question.
Please, go ahead.
So how does the process work for editing this report? Does the working group members suggest individual edits, and we merge them, or you know, we do the edits, and what is the step for doing that? I can imagine a lot of people want to edit, so I don't know how to manage the process.
That's a very good question, Steve, and I'd like to get a sense from the working group how we can proceed. I mean, we certainly you know, number one, we can discuss the report on this call and gather some changes that staff then can make to the interim report. But also very much like to encourage, I think, working group members to actually edit the report if they desire, and then we can incorporate those changes. That's been a process that I've used, that we've used for some of the GNSO working groups, as well as some of the SAC documents, where you know, the members actually edit the document using track changes, and then staff can go ahead and incorporate those changes into a single document. But I'd like to get some guidance from Jeremy as the co-chair, and also from the other working group members, on how you would prefer us to proceed.
This is Jeremy, I'm still kind of listening to find out what people would think on this, but I looked at it, and the question I had was, what do we put in for some finding the next steps, even if it's an interim report, just where are we going to give at least some guidance in the sense of where we're thinking? And I mean, that might be a great place to talk about some of the alternatives that exist and try to really break it down into a change is difficult for something like the current WHOIS implementation and protocol, and there's one of two or one of three options that exist out in the wild that should be adopted. And I think that might be a good, if everyone agrees that WHOIS is broken, then we should say, hey, somebody has to make the decision and finally make the call of who that is, and put a little bit more momentum behind it. I mean, that would be one thing that I would probably want to see in terms of recommendations or findings or a draft finding is some statement to that effect that a successor be determined.
Thank you, Jeremy. Other thoughts from other working group members? Okay. All right, well, why don't we... We've only got about 20 minutes left on this call. Let's go ahead and perhaps get started going through the document. The difficulty is that we're, in order to have a final draft approved by the working group, be able to talk about in Cartagena, both at a presentation for the GNSO Council and at a public session, then we really do have to have it up on the meetings website by the first. I think that just as far as how to proceed here, we can talk about this on this call. I guess I would ask, though, whether or not it might be useful for us to accelerate our calls a little bit. If we had a call, for instance, in 2 weeks, that would be on the 8th, and that might be discussed something then by the 15th. I was wondering whether or not the working group members would be able to have a call next Monday.
This is Steve Metallitz. Could I suggest that I think we could have a call next Monday if need be, but I think what's probably most useful would be for people who have suggested edit. I mean, obviously we're awaiting some more material from the staff, as we've discussed, but for the existing draft, maybe we could encourage people to circulate their edits or proposed edits within the next few days, and then that would perhaps provide the basis for discussion on the first if we need a meeting then.
Thank you, Steve. What do others? I'm only mentioning having a call really because sooner rather than later, because we have tended not to get a lot of comments on the list when we've asked for comments on documents, although we certainly can, give it a shot and try, to really encourage people to go ahead and submit their edits to their report. That would be very, very helpful to actually get comments on the list and, be able to try to incorporate them relatively quickly. And if that was the case, if we get comments, then maybe we could prepare another, sort of a more final draft call in 2 weeks rather than doing a call in 1 week. What do others think?
So this is Jim. I seem to have developed a little bit of confusion here. We have Jeremy was also commenting about saying something about the WHOIS protocol, and then we also started the discussion of this interim report. And my confusion is, are we going to have and publish two things, or did we just say we're going to incorporate the WHOIS comment in this interim report?
Thanks, Jim. This is Julie. I think what I heard was that because of the timing, and as Steve Metallis noted, we have to have the interim report done and up by the 15th, but we don't know when the public comment will be. What I think I heard was that we were going to incorporate what we wanted to say about the protocol in the interim report, in particular the statement that we think that it's inadequate, the WHOIS protocol is inadequate and why. But then I thought I heard Jeremy say that in the next step section of the interim report, which doesn't have anything in it yet, that we could talk about perhaps working on recommendations for a new protocol, as part of next steps. I don't think we'd have time to agree on what those recommendations would be for this interim report, but others can correct me if I'm wrong. Does that help, Jim?
Yes, thank you. So with that, we're just talking about one thing, the interim report, and so I'll just say that I agree with what you and Steve have said up to this point.
Thanks, Jim. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, this is Bob Hutchison. I also agree with Steve. I'm curious as to the timeline you think we have to operate to. And it seems like there's not a lot of members, or there's a lot of missing members on today's call. Is that true? And also, I would like to see us get our comments in by like Wednesday of this week, so that we could have a call next Monday and kind of wrap up what our interim report, the bulk of it, needs to change from where it is right now. I think that's doable. I'm maybe wrong, but. Defer to the group, but I think that's a notable goal.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. This is Julie. We actually have a fair number of working group members on the call. We have today we have Rafiq, Owen, Steve Metallis, Zhang Kong, yourself, Jeremy, and Jim Galvin. So Edmund Chung sent his apologies, as did Avery, but that's a pretty good core group of those who've been involved steadily, I think, throughout the process. But I personally agree that I think it would be extremely helpful to have comments quickly from everyone, say by Wednesday, and then I think that in order to preserve the momentum, I think it would be helpful to have a call both on the 1st. As well as perhaps on the 8th, by the 8th, and prepare a final draft for people to see. Would that be feasible for those on the call to do both a call on the 1st and on the 8th, and also to ask for comments by this Wednesday?
Hey, Julie, this is Owen. That certainly works for me, and I think we should also make sure to put something out to the email list as soon as possible so that the other members are aware of what's going on as well.
Thank you, Owen. Yes, and actually I'll send out some notes later today from this call, and also with the suggestion of doing call both on the 1st and scheduling call both on the 1st and on the 8th. Comments from anyone else? Well, thank you. Do we want to go ahead and we've got now a little bit more than 10 minutes left. We want to go ahead and get started taking a look at the report as it stands right now. And I think that, you know, with respect to getting our comments now and also by Wednesday, I can indicate today to everyone that there'll be additional text forthcoming from staff with respect to, or changes forthcoming with respect to clarifying the distinction between protocol and data, and also putting in a statement about the inadequacies of the WHOIS protocol, but encouraging everyone to comment on this interim report that we sent out by this Wednesday. Maybe I'll go ahead and take this time to just take a look through the report. Looking at it,
Julie, this is Steve Patalis. Could I raise a question about the report? I think it's relevant to one of the points that Jim raised earlier in the call.
Yes, please do.
He mentioned about translation versus transliteration, and I had a question about that myself. When I looked at pages 14 and 15 of the draft report with figure 4 and figure 5, and I think if I'm not missing something, that those two figures are identical, but one has a caption that says Model 3 and regarding transliterating registrant submission, and one says Model 4 with the registrar's translating registrant submission. But the two figures seem to be the same, and they're both examples of transliteration, I think. So I guess I just wanted to raise that question. I wasn't sure what the difference, if these figures are correct, I'm not sure what the difference is between the two models, and if there is a difference between the two models, then one of the figures is not correct.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Sheng, do you have a comment on that?
I'm reading through the report. Look like same.
Steve, are you talking about? I'm looking at page 14. I'm seeing
right.
Four.
Yeah, I'm looking at graph myself.
And then figure 5.
Figure 4 and 5.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
So are these both examples of, yeah, I see, because figure 5 says registrar's translate registrant submission. Figure 4 says registrar's transliterate.
I think. Let me think.
They do look the same.
I remember. So regarding the issue of translation and transliteration, I've been writing drafts. In my previous draft, there's only three models that we talk about, and then in the last meeting, someone suggested a translation. So I think to respond to figure 5 is incorrect, let's say. Figure 5 is from figure 4, and that's incorrect. Yeah. It should be like translation, but I have to ask Andrei, from the Russian to do a slide on translation. Thanks.
And this is Jim Galvin. So the interesting question that comes up here, this goes to the context for the question raised by ESSEC about transliteration versus translation, is there something in this to be translated? I mean, address and name were sort of the two questions that were raised. Are those things which one would ordinarily expect to translate or not? That's the question I raise. It's not even clear to me in looking at this example, and thanks for catching the fact that these pictures are not right or are the same and probably shouldn't be. What would change? Do we even know?
Well, this is Steve Metalitz. I think that if the first one is transliteration, figure 4, then figure 5, if it were to be translation, for example, the last line in address would not say Russia. It would probably say Russia if it was translated into English, or would say Russie if it was translated into French. It would be different than what appears there. But I would not be an advocate for requiring a translation into a particular language, and I'm not sure exactly what the motivation was behind that model, but I think that's what the difference would be.
Okay, thank you. Sure, that makes sense. And if we're not voting now, then, you know, I tend to agree with you in terms of choosing these models, but I don't think we're trying to make a decision at this point as to which one of these we're going to do.
Yeah, this is Julie. I think that the point in including Model 4, the translation model, was simply to, you know, to show that, you know, this that it is an alternative, perhaps not one that we're recommending, but that if we're discussing it at all, we really include it. I think I can see a few other words too in the address that would probably be translated in this case, and I'm sure Andre can help us with that. Whether or not that needs to happen, I guess that, you know, that is the question with respect to all of these models, is to what extent does this working group, is something that should be done or is feasible to do. That's giving aside, I think, at this point.
I will get in touch with Andre to see if he can help us with the new screenshot on translation. Thanks.
And he might be able to come up with an example that has more obvious opportunities for translation in the address, and just to show, you know, and whether or not it's useful. But, you know, a street name that perhaps has a word that, you know, could be, you know, I don't know what Lipsa is, Lenina, but, you know, that probably is something that in this case does have an English equivalent that could be, you know, translated as you know, Russia would be Russia. Thanks for that, Steve. Other specific points about the interim report, and thanks, Steve Metallitz, for raising this particular correction.
Yeah, while we're on the fourth model, this is Bob Hutchison again. There was comment made earlier about who is labels, and I believe that one of the reasons that I asked for this model be put in here is that I believe that labels will be the one piece that will probably be actually translated, such that if my language is Hindi, the labels would come back to me in Hindi, translated into Hindi, okay, and from English, maybe from a standard set. And if I were in Russian, for example, the labels would appear in Cyrillic and translated into the Russian equivalent names. Okay, and so this is why I asked sort of for this option to be here, because I don't see in the overall report a working model that we're proposing without addressing both the transliteration and the translation options of not only the labels for the data, but what happens inside the data, okay? And in this Russian example, for example, I don't see that this is being, I see the domain name displayed in Cyrillic, but I don't see the other pieces of data displayed in Cyrillic, and I don't believe that if I were a Russian person who had registered my domain name in Cyrillic, that this is what my registration would look like. I'm talking specifically at Figure 5.
This is Steve Shen. This is a very good comment. Let me see if I capture your thoughts. So you are separating the label and the data, first of all, and you are suggesting that the label, and you're suggesting the label to be translated, is that right?
Yes, of the variety that says,
okay.
Well, with the knowledge that I'm not mixing translation and transliteration. Translation,
right,
meaning,
right.
Okay, yes.
So there's a technical issue here. Is think what you're referring is localization. That means, you know, if you're in a different country, the label themselves will appear in that language. So, for example, if an Indian user using Whois, the label would appear in Indian. If a Chinese user use Whois, the label of the data would appear in Chinese. That's largely, I think, a client decision. So that's really a work instead of, you know, the server. Server does that for the client. So to the extent, if we want that to be translated, then a possible way is to standardize the label and then let the client determine, you know, how they localize that. So that's my point.
Well, you're proposing a particular solution, and I'm proposing that this is the problem that needs to be addressed. Okay, I mean, I guess philosophically, I disagree that I think that the Whois service should provide, according to what my query language is, should provide the labels in that language. This
okay.
normally happens in almost all web-based stuff today.
Okay. So could you, in the interest of the deadline, I think what your proposed requirement, you write down those requirements and then, you know, we put it in the report. Is that workable?
Okay. Yeah, I'll outline some verbiage that I think might.
Yeah, I'm afraid I can't. I don't know.
Okay. Thanks.
You provide the language. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, and that was Bob Hutchinson. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I think if you could provide something that would help expand on this model to include the trans labels and your thoughts on that would be extremely helpful. I'm now it's 1 minute past the hour. What I'd like to do is go ahead and send around some notes later today from this call, and also we'll go ahead and schedule a call for this time for next Monday. We will also ask all of the working group members to provide their comments on this interim report by this Wednesday for staff to incorporate in a new version to be discussed next Monday. So thank you, everyone. Are there any questions before we adjourn? Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to all of you next week.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.